Morning, everybody. Morning. You guys turn your Bibles, book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. A few things, man, I love that verse or half verse. They all ate and drank that day before the Lord with great gladness. Like Kevin said, what did we just do? And that is a beautiful picture of the church. And you think about it, Saul and the son of David, they made king a second time. Brethren, we know that Jesus Christ is king. He's been declared king. God has declared him as king in front of the entire universe. Heaven above, earth below. But we still have responsibility to sanctify Jesus as Lord in our hearts. Amen? So when we, even when we come together on the first day of the week, it's kind of one of the things we're reconfirming that Jesus is king in our, of our lives. I see Mrs. Simpson up here in the front. I gotta say, I've had Mrs. Simpson mad at me lots of times in my life. And she gets over it fast. So, I'm not worried about it. Happy birthday. You have always got over it. So, but the look that I just got, I'm thinking this one might take a little bit, but we'll get there. So Mrs. Love got moved, to assisted living. She was in a situation where that she definitely needed that. And so her new address is up in the Heights, 72 Lily Valley Circle. And there won't be a need for taking her grocery shopping and those kind of things anymore. But she needs rides to assemblies. And anybody is welcome. Like, this is open to anybody who's able to. This will be going around, so please consider that. And if you can help, that would be great. One thing I got to say, I really appreciate, particularly, I know it falls primarily on the ladies. I really appreciate the ladies in this congregation. Just thinking about Sue Phillips and the commitment that people do to go and assemble with her and Mrs. Love. I mean, you guys know Mrs. Love loves the church. Like, that is the most important thing in her life. And for her to be able to finish her life being able to be with the Lord and the people she loves, like, that is a tremendous blessing. And I know it's a sacrifice, honestly, for everybody who does that. But it's also, it's a tremendous blessing, and I know it's a blessing to Mrs. Love. And you think about, you know, people talking about getting older. Someday it's going to be, if the Lord tarries, and we don't die an early death, we're all going to get to experience that. And it's really nice to have somebody that cares enough about you to put spiritual things, to make sure that those spiritual things in your life that are important to you get to do. So anybody that can help out, that'd be great. We'll just start it here at the front. And I got to get moving, man. So, we've been working through Romans chapter 13, and we know that love is the fulfillment of the law. I know a few of you guys are ready for me to be over my little mini-series on love. Gotten that feedback a little bit, so just so you know, this is the second to the last message on this, particularly. So, you got this one to get through, and next one. And just so you know, today we're on love bears all things, so it's very appropriate. Alright? So you can and endures all things. You can finish with me here. First Corinthians chapter 13. Been preaching out of Romans, but just wanted to branch off where it says love is the fulfillment of the law and talk about that a little bit. And so we've been in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 8. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I've become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I'm nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you, Father, for your example of love, that you demonstrated it to us through the cross, particularly, that while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us. That you continue to demonstrate it, Father, through the ongoing work of Jesus Christ and his intercessory role as high priest on our behalf. That he continues to love us and to care about us and to bear all things, to believe all things, to hope all things, and to endure for our sake. Oh, what a blessing that is. I pray that our eyes would be open, that we would see into that realm of heaven. And think, consider, Lord, as we come together on the first day of the week, the table that you have set for us, it's a table in heaven. To bring us into that realm and seat us at your table to see who you are and to change us to be like you. Father, we're appreciative for that process that you work in our lives, the transforming process. Even some of the difficulties that we've faced, Lord, even some of the failures that we may have had, that you are able, in your great love and power, Lord, to turn those and cause those for good, that we learn more about you and about the victory that we have through Jesus Christ. I ask that you be with me today as I preach your word, that it would be clear and would be in line with the truth. I'm just mindful, Father, of what you've said and what we talked about last week, that love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, I'm going to fast forward here. No intro. Love bears all things. That's why we're starting this morning. Love bears all things. I want to think about this really in two ways. Love, I think I'm probably going to kind of the majority I'm going to talk about more, love bears up under all things. And then a little bit, love bears all things. You guys have heard me use this example probably multiple times because it really stuck with me. And I've talked about it recently because I used it in the Philippines. The Red Lodge chairlift. A number of years ago, December 2011. The Red Lodge chairlift, one of the chairs was on it, fell. A couple of teenage boys on it. Non-life-threatening injuries. But I think Keisha actually knew maybe one of the boys or something there. And I think there was some back issues that continued on thereafter. But, you know, I guess one of the things that made me think about what would cause that chair to fall? You know, I'm one of those guys, like, you put me on a roller coaster, and I like the roller coaster, but I think when I'm, like, looking straight down, I do have thoughts coming to mind, like, how safe are these things, really? You know, you go skiing, and you snowboard, and you're thinking about the skiing and the snowboard, but then if you stop and think, and you hear stories like that, you know, and the wind's blowing a little, and it starts swinging on you, and how safe are these things, really? So, what would cause that chair to fall? You know, oftentimes if something breaks, it is something, it's an extreme load or an extreme hit that just wasn't designed to deal with. You know, maybe super severe winds or something like that. But more often than not, it's the reason things like that break is the countless repetition of little stresses, okay, that hit it over and over again in the same spot. And so I was thinking about, you know, marriages that fail. And sometimes there's just a tragedy that comes along that's too great for the couple to cope with. I was thinking in my life, just some of my friends, and early on in Julie's and my marriage, we had some friends and they had two daughters, very young daughters, like 1 year old and under one, and they were taking a bath together and Mom went to answer the phone. This was before cell phones. Mom went out to answer the phone. It was Dad calling. They talked. She came back in. One of the babies was drowned. Like, that's a really tough thing. Hey, a lot of marriages don't survive that. You can imagine all the, if you wanted to play the blame game all the ways you could in that. Thankfully, they're Christians and they have survived and they're still married at this point in time, happily married and Christians. I was thinking about, the Jacobs family and some of the things that they have gone through with Kirsten's cancer and little Avery's death and his motorcycle accident. And just, you know, there are things, what I'm saying is, guys, there are some very difficult things that sometimes come up in people's lives. And if love isn't strong enough, then it causes relationships to fail. So sometimes there are those dramatic things, but I think more often than not, it's the constant continuous strain that takes, it's stress over time. You know, you consider, most of us in here, either married or have been married, or some of us, maybe it's will be married. You know, there's stress. There's everyday stress. Just got a chance recently to sit down with a few people over lunch and just people talk. Life is stress. It's never ending. It just keeps pounding and pounding and pounding. You know, stress over money. If you got kids, I mean, these beautiful little angels that God gives to us, they are a gift from the Lord, but they can be a cause of stress. The time, the pressures of time. All of us got 24 hours in a day, and what are we going to do with that? You know, the day in, the day out. I'll put this nicely, discussions, okay, that you have to sort through to get on the same page. Okay? Those things are real, and they continue over and over. And, you know, I was thinking, what's the difference between marriages, for example, that fail under those conditions and others that grow closer with time through that stress and those strains? And we could nail it down, guys, one thing. It's agape love. My dad, when he does weddings, he talks about the difficulties and the challenges that come in life, and he says it's those things that, he says, really, really forge the bonds, okay, that keep us together. And so, you know, they're difficulties. They're always going to come. Agape love bears all things. So agape love takes all these things in life that come up, and instead of allowing those things to take us out, agape love uses that to, it's like tempered steel, stronger. I was actually considering when Julie and I got married. It was an interesting thing because everybody, you know, wants to warn you about marriage and what's coming. And my brother Matt, great guy, he was unmarried at the time, but he left a voicemail. I wasn't home. He left a voicemail on my recording that week and said, you know, hey, bro, if you want to back out, it's still okay. Nobody will think any of the less of you. Like, this is, you know, it's all right. And I'm not getting a smile from my wife here. And then I remember that day I went, you know, was out golfing with John Adams, and, you know, people were asking about cold feet, and I was like, no, I'm fine. I'm great. I went out, got a little sunburn the day of golfing. And right up before the marriage, I was at, no, I'm good. And I walked down the aisle, and I felt good. And I turned around, and I smiled, and I was like, because all of a sudden, like, you're thinking, like, you have no clue what's coming in the next 20, 30, 40, 50. You just cannot possibly anticipate it. There's no way in the world that you can. And in all honesty, you can't express, nobody can tell you ahead of time some of the unfathomable joys that you can experience. And nobody can really share with you ahead of time some of the real, true heartaches that come. You just don't know. But you know what you do? You say, I love you. You say, I do. And you commit. And whatever those things are that come, love bears all things. That's what agape love is. Amen? So, you think about, let's apply this spiritually. What about the Christian walk? I know some people, like, they're afraid going in the water. Why? Because you cannot anticipate what the next 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years will be. Tremendous joy. Tremendous, you know, walking with Christ. Great things that happen, but also there's some tremendous difficulties and hardships along the way. Mark Taylor shared some of his. Like, there are sacrifices that you will make along the way that will have a true physical, tangible drawback in your life on this earth. It's the reality of it. And so, some of those things you can't anticipate ahead of time, but you know what? You say to Christ, I love you, and you say, I do, and you commit. And you allow those challenges and those difficulties to strengthen your faith. Love bears all things. I just think about the seed that's sown, you know, on the rocky places. What, those are people that become Christians, guys. And it says, as soon as they're, you know, the sun comes out, the scorching heat is withers up. Can't handle it. Affliction, persecution, temptation comes along. And some people just wither under it. I didn't know this. Like, I was thinking I was going to be born again. The old man dies and a new man's raised. And the scripture talks about all that. But, man, Satan didn't quit working on you. Matter of fact, he cranks it up. I wasn't ready for that. Love. Love bears all things. Whether you are ready for it or not, you get through it. Because of agape love for Christ. The seed sown among the thorns. That's not like a tragic event. That's like the wear and tear. The everyday. The grind. You know, I was thinking, I get so excited about new Christians. Anybody else like get excited about new Christians? It's just like, and they're springing their step and their eyes are lit up and I'm always like rejuvenated and remotivated and, you know, and the Lord designed it that way, guys. Like life coming into the world, and I'll probably preach on that a little bit in my last message on love. But you know, it like keeps us going and invigorates and brings back life. But it's always interesting because the reality of it is somebody becomes a Christian and they start. And then you can kind of see like there's a little transition from the brand new phase excitement to, oh, this is reality. Like there's a hall here. Like there's some difficulties. The high wears off. The habits take over. By the way, new Christians and older Christians, the highs won't always be there, so be forming good habits so they get you through some of those lows. But love is the answer, isn't it? Love bears all things. Love gets you through this. You know, love bears up under all things. And then I want to quickly shift to love bears all things as well. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. Jesus is the example for us of this. You know, love has broad shoulders. And when I say that, I mean, love is willing to take responsibility. I'm not talking about enabling. We talked about that a little bit last week. But love is willing to take responsibility even for shortcomings of those under its care. You understand what I'm saying by that? Jesus is the perfect example. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. Jesus loved us. And he bore our sorrows, did he not? Our griefs. Love bears all things. You know, it's interesting in the marriage relationship, when conflict arises, let's be honest about this. The real question when conflict arises is who's going to solve this? I mean, typically you have both partners waiting for the other one to do the right thing. I mean, because you're thinking about the other one, right? Like what they're not doing. So who's gonna move first? Let's just ask it this way. Who will accept responsibility for their part and even cover for the shortcomings of the other one? How about the one who practices agape love? Love bears all things. Isn't this true in the body of Christ? Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 tells us that love covers a multitude of sins. Brethren, love bears all things. I want to shift gears here. Love believes all things and hopes all things. I'm not going to emphasize, you know, not going to preach comprehensively on this. I'll just say this. This does not mean that love is naive or gullible. If you read the book of Proverbs, it is not a good thing to be naive or gullible. Like, love has its eyes wide open, right? But when love believes all things and hopes all things, it means that love believes the best, that love has confidence. Sometimes people think I'm an optimist. And I will say that I do have a tendency of... I fast forward in my mind and I see good things happening. And that's probably true in almost everything in my life. But I like to think of myself as a realist with hope. Like, I want to be real about the situation, but man, I just believe things can turn out good. And I'm never going to quit thinking that way, guys. I'll just tell you that. Love believes all things and hopes all things. I figure, you know what, if I'm wrong on some stuff, the Lord will sort that out. He's got that part of it handled. I think about, you know, God's dealings with me. Guys, when I read the scriptures, this does two things. Number one, and most important of all, it builds confidence that we have in the Lord. Amen? Like, you read this and you say, our God is an awesome God. He can bring about victory in the face of absolutely overwhelming odds of defeat. Our God's amazing. Like, I have 100% confidence in the Lord. Let's just talk about one thing. The resurrection from the dead. That's not supposed to happen. Except God said it would. And whatever anybody's... all the world powers and all the fallen angels' powers against it, God said Jesus is going to be raised from the dead. And on the first day of the week, Jesus was raised from the dead. I believe in God can do anything. And this builds confidence that way. But do you know what the second thing it does? Like, this is a love letter to us. And it fills me with confidence because of what God says about me. Sometimes that's a little tougher for me. I got to sort through that more. But hey, God says, Luke, this is who you are. God says, this is who the church is. I believe that. Love believes all things, hopes all things. What's your picture of the church? Let's just put it really simple. Isn't the church the kingdom that endures forever? Like, the church is the one victorious entity, the only victorious entity throughout all of history. The church lives on forever. Love believes all things, hopes all things. I'm not going to try to figure out each person. Let's see, who's going to make it with me? I'm not going to go through, I'm not so sure about you. I thank you, and I've been surprised before. I'm not going to even worry about being surprised. I'm going to believe what God says about the church, and I'm going to believe in you. Personally, I will believe in every one of you, unless you prove otherwise. I hope you'll do the same for me. And I mean prove otherwise. That means you quit. Mistakes that you might make along the way, and I hope you'll do the same for me. I'm not quitting. Love believes all things, hopes all things. If you want to nitpick, you can do that. And I'm sure there's stuff you can find. Going over stuff with that fine tooth comb. I think the Lord's got that handled. I'm just going to say that. Love believes all things, hopes all things. How about Philippians chapter 4, verse 8? Whatever's true, honorable, right, pure, lovely. I'm forgetting the last part of it. I know anything excellent, anything worthy of praise, I might have missed one or two. Let your mind live there. Let your mind dwell on these things. Amen? Love believes all things, hopes all things. And the last one I want to hit quickly today is love endures all things. You know, some of the brethren aren't here today. The Boltons and the Tools, they did the Spartan. And some of them did the Beast, and some of them did the Sprint, and some of them did both, I think. And, the Beast was 13.1 miles with a bunch of obstacles, and the Sprint, I think, is like 5 miles with... doesn't sound like a Sprint to me. I was thinking a Sprint, like 100 meters or something, right? But, with all these obstacles, but I was thinking, I was a distance runner, and one thing I figured out, like, guys, life is not a sprint. Life is, it's a distance event. It's an ultra marathon. But you know, And I've said that before, and I've preached it before, but you've heard me. I've changed it recently, the last few years, because even when I was in really good endurance shape, I would go to these boot camp classes at the Y. And they're only an hour long. Okay? And these boot camp classes, and I could go run for hours, and I could even go run hard for an hour. But these boot camp classes, I'd be like, they gave me the beat down. And what is it? Well, it's all this like high intensity stuff. Like you do this high intensity thing for a minute, and then you go to another station doing a high intensity thing for a minute, and like it was whooping me. And I got thinking about life. Life is an ultra marathon with high intensity intervals thrown in when you have no idea they're coming. Like you can't, you're going along, you know, you're in the pace, you're in the rhythm. That's the nice thing about running. Like you can get into a rhythm and you just like feel as little pain as possible. That's the trick, by the way. If you're a distance runner, you just get into a rhythm and you feel as little pain as possible and you're going along. And then high intensity interval, pain. I did these things called Tabata sprints. I gotta tell you, 4 minutes of pain. It's the best way I can explain it. 4 minutes of pain. So you sprint as fast as you can for 20 seconds, and then you walk for 10. You sprint for 20 seconds, as fast as you can, walk for 10. You only have to do this 8 times. You would not believe the amount of pain you can get in 4 minutes. I remember I was trying to tell my kids about this. I took Caleb and Elena with me, they wanted to try it. And the first few aren't bad. All of a sudden, like halfway through, I see him, and Elena, at the time, she was quite a few years younger at the time, she quit. But Caleb, like this look of pain just came across his face, and I have to admit, I started laughing out loud. Like, I just started, because I was like, I know what that feels like. I knew it was going to happen. Yes. But, you know, I tell myself, when I would do that, hey, you can, 4 minutes of pain. You can do 4 minutes of anything. I mean, it's 4 minutes. You know the tricky thing about life? It's not just 4 minutes. It is an ultra marathon with 4 minutes of pain thrown in from time to time, just for the fun of it. Didn't you say it was fun, Larry, this morning? Didn't you say it was fun this morning? I'm pretty sure I heard you say, like, this is fun. You got to have fun doing it. I'm pretty sure. I concur. But in those moments of pain, guys, it doesn't always feel fun. And so, love endures all things. How do we, the reality of it is, all of us have valleys that we go through. And love keeps going in those tough times. There are times you're peaks and you're feeling great. And love doesn't quit there either. Say, I've arrived. Love endures all things. Life in Christ, guys, has its shifts and momentum. There are ebbs and flows to it. Different opposition that comes up. And love keeps going. There was a poster that was in my house growing up. A winner never quits, and a quitter never wins. Winners don't quit. Love endures all things. The love of Christ, guys, makes us winners for eternity. You know, I think the love of God is clearly first and foremost. I hate if I told anybody the answer to the bulletin question for next week. Sorry about that. But, you know, love of God first and foremost, love of people is secondary, and it goes along with that. We've talked about that. But doesn't the love of God, like, keep you from getting discouraged with yourself in the midst of this? Romans 8:28, anybody know that one? For we know that God causes all things. Did you notice, by the way, all these were love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Oh, Romans 8:28, for we know that God causes all things together for good. That's not the end of that verse, is it? To those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. The love of God, in all honesty, guys, the love of God keeps me from getting discouraged with myself. in the love of others, the love of you, keeps me from getting discouraged with you. Keeps me from getting discouraged with others. From the Lord, there are little sayings that I have, like, in any given time, the story's not over yet, right? Like, this isn't the end. Like, you can take the Scripture as a whole, its entirety, and you work through things, and you see, the story's not over yet. And so, these are things I know the Lord encourages me with in the Scriptures. Can't we do that for our brethren? Like, the only way it's over, guys, if you quit. Let's close Romans 8, actually. Let's turn there. Anybody that's successful in this spiritual life, anybody that's going to be successful in their marriages, anybody that's going to be successful raising kids, anybody that's going to be successful making disciples of Jesus Christ, there's going to be something called love that endures all things. So Romans chapter 8, verse 35. I want to say one more thing. Sorry, I shut my notes down. I want to say this. You ever seen parents quit on their kids? Unfortunately, a lot of parents quit on their kids because kids are a lot of work. But, I mean, maybe when their kids get older and their kids are going a little astray or doing something, have parents just, like, give up on them? That's not love. A spouse quits on another spouse because they just get tired of the journey. How about giving up on new Christians because you see them giving into the flesh? Love doesn't give up. Love doesn't give up on yourself. And love doesn't give up on others. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Just as written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, you picking up something? All things. In all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brother, let's have agape love of Jesus Christ. Love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And next week, if you bear with me, love never fails. Let's stand. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the blessing you give us through Christ. We're thankful for your example. And Father, I'll just be honest about myself. All the times that you, if you wanted to give up on me, you certainly, I've given you plenty of opportunities. But Lord, you never have. And I never once thought you would, or even thought you might, because that's not who you are. And in all honesty, that's what's kept me going, is knowing that you are faithful, that you will never quit on me. And Father, that's the love. That's the love that you've put into our hearts as your sons and daughters. A love that doesn't quit. It will never quit on you and doesn't quit on others. But may we continue to grow in your love, to power through, to be spiritual winners for you. All of these things, in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through you who love us. Father, may you be glorified. through us individually, through this congregation, through your church, throughout the world that's right here right now, and throughout your church, through your church throughout all of history. Or may we demonstrate your love, a love that never fails for all eternity. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.